the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Well, I mean, you know, having a job is not all that bad, really, because your client is your boss. If you don't make them happy and do what they want to do and be flexible, then, you know, it's a moot point because you're not going to have any customers. And being an entrepreneur is very hard. You know, I've done.
I know. I mean, yes, but you still can decide that, okay, no, I rest, or okay, no, I work 17 hours, as you said, you know, so right. you can decide when you push yourself or when you don't, you know. But if you have a job, you need to get there at 9 o'clock in the morning and come home at six.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like,
I don't know. It's a structure. You're guaranteed benefits. You're guaranteed a paycheck. You don't have to go out and get the business. It's automatically there for you. Being an entrepreneur, you got to be on the clock 24/7. You may not want to work today, but you may not eat either. There's no benefits. There's no medical. There's no sick time. So yeah, it's a trade-off. It just depends on, you know, where people are. A lot of people want to be entrepreneurs, but I tell you, end up being entrepreneur. But that's not everybody, you know, because you're going to go to school. You're going to go back to school. You're going to get your degree, and you are going to do great things in the world. So what are you going to do with that business degree?
Oh, it's just to know, like, how I supposed to look after my business, you know. So just to have a peace of mind, you know, about the whole structure and things. And
exactly.
How to handle it, yeah.
Yeah, how you can, you know, have your bookkeeping up, know what contracts that you need, know if you need to hire out where you're weak. You know, some people aren't good at administrative work. So, yeah, well, that'll be good. So how long is your class?
Now it's this year. I started in September. I have one more year, so it's 2 years.
Oh, okay, so you're going for a degree?
Yeah, it's a degree. It's like level four. Yeah.
Oh, good for you! I'm going back to school too. I'm going for screenwriting. I'm going to learn how to write scripts and plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm excited. So, welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. You are now here at the spot where the conversation is pointed, guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains, we got a great guest today. Kiss. Be kiss. Anyway, wait. I got to do that again. Hold on. Edit. Eat it. Be kiss. Is that right?
Edit. Be edit, kiss.
Be kiss. Okay. All right. Hold on. Brains, help me welcome our guest today. Edit. Eat it. I can never say it. Why can't I say it? Say it one more time.
Okay, don't worry. Don't worry then.
No, I got to say it. I got to say it one more time. I got to give myself a prize. One more time. Say it.
Edit.
Edit. Okay, like you edit a...
Yeah, you edit anything. Yeah, it's like the same reading. You know, like you write it in the same way. You're spelling the same way. Edit. Okay.
Brains, help me welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Edit. Be kiss. She is coming in to visit with us to tell us about karma, healing, and the great work that she does with people that are experiencing trauma. She's also a student. She's going back to get her business degree. I talked to her a little bit about that a few minutes ago, just to see what that looks like. And she's going for her own personal development and growth, which I think is brilliant, because you have to have a structure. You have to know how to run a business. You just can't do it abracadabra. So, Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge. Hello, Edit.
Hi, Priya. Thank you. It's nice to be here. I'm really excited to share everything.
I'm so glad to have you. So, tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, I used to work in the corporate world as a petroleum engineer, and then because of my kids, I decided that I want to spend more time with them, and I would like to be more into contracting. So I started to work as a contractor, as an engineer, but then due to the fact that I was already introduced to Reiki in 2003, I was spiritual as well, parallel to my engineering. And I was doing a lot of spiritual work, like at the weekends and when I had free time. So I was healing people, but I never did it as a business. I did it like for my hobby. And then later, when I got introduced to karma healing, that's changed a lot. Somehow I got into a vortex when I met the first time with Sumant Kaur, Master Guru, Karma Guru. I got into a vortex where I started to feel the purpose. I started to get guidance from above more, and then I started to feel I need to change a lot of things in my life, and then I need to follow this guidance. And I started to learn more about karma healing, samadhi meditation, and then it just gave me a pass, and it showed me like, yes, I need to move to London and hear people in London. And everybody was surprised and asking like, why, how? And then I said, I don't know, I just have to do this. I feel like I have to do this. So I left Hungary, where I used to live in that time, with my children, and we came to London. And then in a month, I established my company, Rise Energy, and I started to do Reiki healing and karma healing and guided meditation with my clients. So that's how I started.
Explain something to me, because you say karma healing, and my understanding of karma is cause and effect. So how are you able to heal something before it even happens?
So karma is action. Yeah, you said it right. Karma is actually means action. So the action you take. But because I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that our soul was coming from other lives, you actually bring here already karma with you. And then you bring karma also through your DNA from your ancestors. And also you have effects on your karma through your country where you live, your environment, all of these things. And then also the bacteria in your body, they have a karma, and it's also affecting you. So all of these things is bringing all your karmas together, and you need to heal all of them to be a healthy person. And you also, we're not just healing karmas, like this negative karmas from life, but when we're talking about karma healing, we do source memory healing, which means you had emotional traumas in your childhood, or even in the womb, you know, in your mother's womb, or in previous lives, and then we heal those traumas through karma healing. And the basic thing is to go to samadhi state, do the samadhi meditation, and that's when we can start the healing. And samadhi meditation is so powerful because we actually activate the pineal gland in our brain. And by activating the pineal gland, we get the brain into delta waves. And then you are able to communicate with your unconscious mind, and then reveal all those memories which cause you the same kind of emotional effect that you're feeling right now, for example, and we want to heal you out of it.
Well, so you're reliving the trauma, pretty much.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so we communicate with the unconscious mind. We actually asking to hear the current situation, where the customer is, like the client is. It could be even financial situation or relationship issue or a physical illness. Both has an emotional feeling in your body and physical feeling in your body. So you feel emotionally something, mm-hmm. and then you can actually mirror it to your body, like a physical feeling, and that helps your unconscious mind to look into the memories to find the same kind of feelings what you had in your memories. And then you pick one of those memories, and sometimes there are 10 memories that same feelings, because we're piling up those feelings. Right. And then that's why actually eventually it's causing illness, because you're not dealing with it, you're just experiencing it over and over again.
Right.
And then eventually it's causing an illness.
Yeah, so you never really resolve it. Because a lot of people tell me, I hear this every time I talk to energy workers, spiritual healers, even, you know, clinical doctors and psychiatrists, they say that a lot of your pain and your stress and your disease is caused by submerged
trauma.
But again, you know, it's like an ulcer. I can see that. but I don't maybe understand maybe cancer, but then heart disease, and there's other contributing factors. So it does make sense to me to a way.
Yeah, for example, I know people who, like, who, if you keep yourself in anger, if you are angry about someone, mm-hmm. you could be a very nice, kind person, and maybe you're angry with someone who's hurting others. But because of that anger mm-hmm. you keep in yourself, because of the person who's hurting others, and then you would love to do that, something about it, but you feel so angry about that person, that could make you sick.
Right, right.
So you need to process your emotions. You need to bear in mind that you need to keep yourself, your emotions stable and always on positive side, because you're causing yourself sick if you angry even with bad people, you know. So,
but you know,
even being kind.
But being positive and being happy is like chasing a high. What is the next thing that's going to keep me at that plateau? So many people just don't know how to level out and just kind of be normal and be at this stage right here where they're at peace. They're always kind of ratcheting up, or they're going down. What would you suggest for people to just stay calm and just try to understand, especially now what's going on in the world? People are afraid.
This is the point where gratitude comes in. So you need to practice gratitude. It's like it's also said by many mentors, many coaches, everybody is saying this, and also spiritual leaders, like you need to practice gratitude daily, because then you see the positive things in your life in that moment. You need to focus on that moment, what makes you happy. Because if you are not happy or not satisfied in that moment, you can't bring in next day the positive things, because tomorrow is going to be your today. So it's just always, if you think negatively now, next day is going to be again negative. It's the same thinking spiraling all the time. So you need to find always something you are grateful, even your food, even your clothes, even your friends or families or kids to hug on, you know, like always find something, little things, not big ones, but just what keep you on a peace of mind, like gratitude.
Right. Because
you can dream up.
Like you said, today is your tomorrow, and tomorrow will become your yesterday. So it's just, you know, it's ever changing moment by moment, and people are afraid. So again, gratitude is a great way, appreciation, paying it forward, anything that you can do in a positive light. You're also a Reiki healer. Tell me a little bit about Reiki and the work that you do with your clients.
So Reiki healing is a thing like usually I say to clients that I clean their chakras, Reiki healing, I clean their auras, because the chakras are blocked usually with negative energy, with negative thinking. So your chakras needs to be clean and swirling, and always letting the energy to flow. So when they clean, the life energy going through you, so you are alive, you enjoy life, you open up for opportunities, you are open. Well, that's what I can say, like when you feel lighter, you feel like encouraged, you feel empowered, you know, when your chakras are clean and you are filled up with life energy, that's how you feel. So when people start to think negative, they start to look at chakras. If, for example, someone says about herself, for example, you're ruining your self-esteem, you know, because you feel so small, or you feel like you are not enough good for something, and you're already blocking one of your chakras, the solar plexus, for example. Or if you have relationship issues with your husband, and you have a cross, you know, then you're blocking the sacral chakra. If you have issues with your parents, you're blocking your root chakra. So or if you don't feel like loved, then you're blocking your heart chakra. Or you don't allow people to love you, you're blocking your heart chakra. So all of your thoughts, all of your emotions are blocking your chakras. So many times people think I send them Reiki healing and they are fine. But it's not the case. I need to know what is going on with them. I need to know who they talk, what they are together, what is actually causing them the issue, why they feel sick, why they feel bad, why they are stressed, why they are anxious. Because I need to give them the guidance how to change that. Because if they don't change anything, it's going to be blocked again in a week or two. So it's not going to work.
Right.
So I always need to see the whole picture and then tell them, okay, so you experienced this, your chakras were blocked, I cleaned them, now you feel good, but be aware how to change things, like how to get well with your partner, or how to solve your issues, or how to empower yourself, how to choose the work that you love, you know. I recommend them to change jobs, you know, when they, or just discuss or talk to someone, you know, to find solutions, because it's not gonna be long-term, the Reiki healing, if they don't change their life. They right. have to change.
Well, they have to change their life, and they have to change their habits, and they have to stop, yeah. you know, reprogram, you know, their neuro-linguistic programming, how they talk to themselves. What is that?
Yeah.
Michael? Hold on.
What did you hear?
No, I didn't know what was that. What was that, a motorcycle in the background?
Oh, yeah, there's a motorcycle here on the street, yeah.
Oh, so that's good. So you're right by the window. So now, how is life in London? Do you like London? You know, it's different and there's a lot of things going on there. That was a big change for you and your children.
Yeah, it was a big change, because even though we used to live in the capital in Hungary, it wasn't like that modern, you know, it wasn't so many people like here in London. But we kind of choose an area which wasn't so busy, so crowded. So it was still nice and comfortable. It is still nice and comfortable. And then what was such a surprise for me, that it was so easy to feel home here, you know? It was so easy to find with people the same common words, you know, to find friends, to get, so the people are so welcoming here, so nice, so kind, so different from other, not other countries, but different from, for example, my home country.
Right.
Or, you know, because it's a different mind of, you know, it's here, you know, in UK, there are so many foreigners, and in London is even more, you know, like it's a mixture. So they accept everyone, you know, they expect everyone to come in, you know, so they don't judge you, they don't criticize you, they happy with you, they help you, they support you. So I just felt supported and loved here. Yeah,
that's great. So your children felt the same, that it was easy for them to adapt.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And because they always been in English curriculum, because we traveled a lot before as well, so it was easy for them to adapt to the schooling system and everything. So
now, are you doing homeschooling there now?
Right now, yes, they do homeschooling with the teachers. Like they get something to do, work on, you know. So, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Of course, it's much more easier when the teacher explain them everything face to face. So it's, I could say it's like, it's just slow motion schooling.
So what do you miss about Hungary though? What do you miss about your home?
Hungary. Let me think. Maybe the different nature, like different trees or like different smells, you know, my childhood smell or my the smell of the food or the smell of these kind of things. So it's just, yeah, what is connected to my childhood, I would say, yeah.
Tell us a little.
But my mom still lives in that town.
Oh, so I'm glad you still have family there. So tell us what it was like growing up in Hungary, because it's very different. It's a different set of rules and guidelines and structure and demands and, you know, what is that like? Americans don't understand that, and we may be headed towards something like that.
So when I grew up, it was a communist regime. Yeah, we were in a communist country, and as a child, I haven't really realized it a bit different. You know, what I experienced that we had to wait 30 years before we could visit some foreign countries. My father he really loved traveling, so we always went somewhere to travel with a very old car. And then we went to Greece, we went to Turkey, we went to Austria, but we always had to wait like a couple of years before we could go again, because this was like a rule not to visit certain countries. We had to wait for that time. And then, so I really love these kind of trips with him. And the school system is pretty tough. It's still tough. It's like the German kind, you know. It's like they have lots of homework. They put a lot of knowledge into books, and the kids have to really learn a lot. So that's why actually I took out my children from the Hungarian curriculum and then I put them in English, because I thought they need a childhood and they need, you know, joyful childhood, not studying things what they won't remember later. So that was a bit strong, but I was always a good student, so it wasn't too much struggle for me actually in school. But the thing was that about religion, for example, or about spirituality, that I wasn't baptized, because in the communist regime, when I have a teacher mom, I was not allowed to go to church and baptize, because she was in the social party or communist party, you know. So I was in my teenage age, like 15, 16, when I started to interact with...
Right, I'm sorry, I had another guest that was on this from Bulgaria, and she said the same thing. She said that if you practice religion, it was, you were criminalized. You could go to jail. So was your family, I mean, I know that that was, you know, that was the rule, but did they always kind of maybe had a spiritual side outside of that?
My mom was pretty down to earth as a teacher, and she was really working hard. So she haven't really took time on herself to be spiritually connected, you know. So she never, I never seen her praying, or I never seen her, you know, to do some connection to God or anything. She never taught me these kind of things. So when I was in my 15, 16, like in teenage age, I started to read books about religions. And then I was thinking, oh, let's choose one, you know, or let's see how they are. And then, because I didn't know how it works, you know. Right. So actually, I started to learn about them. And then I was like, Taoism is pretty close to me, because it's like one universal, you know, power. And then it's like, say, it's in everybody. You know, you can connect to that universal center. And later with the, I met, I think, you know, there is no accident in life. You always...
Wait. We're going to cut that out, because you got unstable for a minute.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back and we'll just pick it up, and I can cut all this out. And we'll pick it up. So you said that your mother did not practice a lot of, you know, you never saw her pray. Or do any sort of spiritual rituals. So how did you get into the spiritual realm? How did you start to identify with it? Can you hear me now?
Is it my Wi-Fi? Yeah, it was very bad. It was, you were saying about my mom, yeah?
Yeah, so it's okay, because I can edit this. It's not a problem. So when did you start evolving and really start questioning spirituality and this thing called God?
Yes, when I was in my beginning of 20s, I started to travel more, and then I went to Mexico, and there I've seen that many people in Mexico is how religious, you know, like how they actually connect to God. They always pray. They're very, very religious, and that was also giving me some thought. And then I went back to Hungary. I was in my university, and then my schoolmate, one of my mates, she was very religious that time, Christian prayers. And then when I went to learn Reiki healing, and then I had to connect to the higher self, to the God, to actually invoke the energy for the healings, I started to use the Christian prayer to invoke the energy. So that was how I connected. So that's what I'm saying, is nothing is accident. Everything is connected to everything. So I'm sure I had to live with that girl to actually learn how to pray. And then I could use for my Reiki healing. So it was like this.
So it was a new experience for you. What did you find? Did you find peace? Did you find comfort? Did you find more curiosity? What is it that you discovered when you found your spirituality and you started dealing in that realm?
When I started Reiki healing, I just thought I want to help people to be more healthy, myself, family, and that's why I want to connect to the higher self, to God, to get healed for healthy life, you know. But later I realized that it's not only helping us to get healthy, but it's also giving you the guidance, the purpose. It's also helping you every day. Like when you are connected and then you think about what would you like to have, it's provided and support and guidance is coming all the time when you connect it. Because then you're working together with the spiritual realm, you know, with your spirit guides, with your angels, with the universal energy. You're working together when you're always connected, when you meditate, when you pray, you are connected, and then you feel that the support is coming by people, by other way.
Right. And you see it manifest in front of your eyes. I mean, things that you think about, that you dream about. So what does your mother think about this now back in Hungary, and what do your children think about this?
My mom, she's very supportive. She always been supportive on this. Actually, her best friend was who introduced me to my Reiki master. Oh, wow. But she never felt ready for it. She never knew. She never wanted to do it because she felt she can't focus and she can't connect. So she just let it. She's always like interested in what I'm doing, and she's always like supporting in this. So she's become more spiritual, much more spiritual, yes, lately.
So now you've
my children on. Is really funny. First, my son, he didn't know.
Oh no, we're good.
What did you say?
We're good. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my children, my daughter, she's watching me, and she many times said that she would like to learn this. She would like to be a healer as well, because she's always around me, you know, she see what I'm doing, how I'm doing, and she feels my energy all the time. So she's willing to follow me on this path, I think. My son, he also said he believes in Jesus. And then when he was sick one day, he even asked me, "Mom, can you heal me?" So it's very cute. Yeah, they are very nice.
That's great. So now you're out in a new country and you are working with this new modality. Where do you see yourself going? Where do you see you taking these tools and these gifts in your career?
So I am planning to open a karma healing center in London. Sumat Kaul Karma Guru has already a couple of centers in Europe, in Paris, in Budapest, and also in Jordan, and one in India. So So I'm planning to open one in London and to have this knowledge, to actually show this knowledge to the people here in London and to hear people, because that was my purpose, to come here to actually open a center and teach these people how to heal themselves, how to heal each other, you know, to do the smart meditation. Mm-hmm. And this meditation is a 60,000 years old technique where you can actually heal yourself cell level. When you practice this meditation, you actually start to vibrate with the energy of the universe, and then you hear yourself.
Wow.
So it's very, very useful. And I think it's more and more people need to know this and learn this.
Right. Because they can incorporate it in their everyday practices. And now we are headed
to 5G. Exactly.
We're headed towards 5G, and this is a whole different frequency. People are not, you know, used to what's going on right now. They don't know how to adjust. They don't know what to expect. So we can expect the unexpected, but we need tools and gifts like you have to help us navigate through that. Please tell my brains how they can get in contact with you if they want to do some deep work, if they want to go into your online courses and learn more about healing your karma.
So my website is Rise Energy. Yeah, so my website is Rise Energy.
Do it.
So they can get to my website is Rise Energy. C-O-U-K.
Hold on, because we're breaking up. So when we break up, I can cut all of that out. That's
and book appointments there.
Yeah, so
conversation on. Before actually any treatment.
Hold on.
And
I want you to
edit.
I want you to give me that one more time, slower, because it broke up. All right, give it to me again. How to get in contact with you, Precious. Are you there, Eddie? What happened? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. Yeah, no, it went unstable again. So just go ahead and I can fix it. So go ahead. Give me all of your information, your contact information.
Okay. So my website is Rise Energy, C-O-U-K. And you can find my telephone number there and you can connect with me through email. And my email is edit.b.aiss@riseenergy.co.uk. Well, and you can book a phone call from a website introduction.
Yeah, they're going to do an initial call.
Oh, and there is a free meditation on my website.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
Yes.
I'm going to try
exactly.
That. Definitely. I love it because I love meditation. And all of them are so different. Some are, you know, just chanting. Some are breathing. Some are
exactly, yes.
You know, so it just depends. How long, let me ask you this, what is the longest period of time that you were able to stay still and silent in meditation?
It was 4 hours.
Wow.
We did that in a retreat, in a karma healing retreat in India. We woke up we started at 4 a.m. until 8 a.m.
Wow. That is a lot. That's a lot of energy. I know my goal is to go, when all this calms down, is to go to a silent retreat where you don't speak.
Wow. Yeah.
And, a friend of mine went and she said it was the most powerful thing she had ever done because no one's speaking. And, you know, what would the world be if we talked a lot less and listened a whole lot more? I think it'd be wonderful, don't you?
Yeah, I would really love if we start speaking telepathically, you know. I would really enjoy that.
Well, we can, and we can connect. So thank you so much, Edit. I just love having you here, popping in from London. I wish you all the best. I know that you're going to get straight A's in school. You are a brilliant woman, and you're very courageous that you were able to move your family and to adjust in a whole new country and take on a whole new modality. So I honor you. Namaste.
Thank you, April. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
All right, brains, go and check her out. I'm telling you, you know, this is very interesting because again, I thought it was one thing and it's totally something different. That's why I love The Edge, because I learn right along with you. Come back and listen to other edgy conversations. We are all over the planet right here. Oh, yes, we are. Okay. We've got great shows coming up, entertainment, art, music, Mother's Day gifts, a whole bunch of great stuff just for you. So thank you again, Edith, and keep in touch. All right, baby?
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, April.